Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams. It is indeed Right Side Radio, 2 p.m., 2.08 p.m. actually on, what, Friday afternoon? Is it Friday? Copper. Is today Friday? Is that what it says?
Yes.
Really? Good day to you, Miss Copper, running our board. How are you?
Very well, and it's Friday, so
hey. It is Friday, so that makes it even more well. You're right. Well, hey, listen, appreciate you being on the board as always. And folks, listen, we got a full show. Pretty stoked about it. Got the triple dipper we'll give you here in just 1 second. You need to know, though, too, at 3 p.m. today, State Senator Clay Schofield, who is the Senate Majority Leader in our Alabama State Senate, is going to be here to talk about the upcoming special session of the legislature. They're going to deal with redrawing the lines, and that's going to be important. Redistricting is a big, big deal. Tells you who your representation will be. But we're also going to talk about, are they going to do anything about vaccine mandates in a special session? I'm curious, and I want to hear what he has to say about it. I'm sure you do, too. Also at 4 p.m., Matt Clark from the Alabama Center for Law and Liberty is going to be on the show with us. He wrote a great piece that got put out just recently, and it's literally basically a series of frequently asked questions about vaccine mandates. How do they apply to you as a federal contractor? How do they apply to you as a school employee? How do they apply to you as an individual citizen? And so he's going to break that down for us from a legal perspective and give us some insights on that, and I think you're going to like it. But I'll tell you what, though, let me lay out for you the triple dipper so you get an idea how the show is going to flow today. Copper, hit the sound effect.
The triple dipper. Three stories you've got to know.
So here's the deal. First thing you got to think about is this. Are we still seeing a private sector? And by saying that, I mean, is there a private sector, or is government running everything to the extent that it's almost like we don't have a private sector anymore, like a blurring of the lines? I'm going to unpack that for you more in just a minute. Special session coming up. What's going to happen in the special session? Do you know who your state rep and state senator are right now? Do you know who your school board members are? Do you know who your congressman or woman is? Well, the lines could be redrawn, and depending on where you live, you may find yourself in a different district without even knowing it, and we're going to have to keep track of that. And the last thing is this, vaccine mandates update. This is a topic that won't go away, all right? It's a vaccine mandates update. We're going to be talking about the legalities of it, all the things that are wrapped up in it, and for that matter, what are other states doing to push back? I got some great stories here about what other states are doing in their special sessions. And I hope Alabama will do likewise. But I got to tell you, back on that private sector question, so I feel like I may have talked about this once before. If I did, please forgive me, but I saw a movie once. It was made in the 90s. It starred Jude Law, Uma Thurman, Ethan Hawke. It's called Gattaca. Maybe you saw it. The storyline in that movie was that in the future, the government would decide who was allowed to have a good job. Sound familiar? Who was allowed to have a good place in society? And based on whether that person had been selectively procreated, meaning that they had had their DNA manipulated in the womb to make them a more desirable person when they were born. But the thing was, in the movie, anybody who was born naturally was considered what they called an invalid and was relegated to menial lives of servitude and could not hold a place in society. So the main character in that movie was determined to overcome his invalid status. And he went to great lengths to forge his documents, to fake his medical profiles, so he could be more like, well, like his perfect brother, because he had a perfect brother who had been procreated, you know, specially. But his perfect brother was also a jerk. And they would often play this game of chicken to see who could swim the furthest offshore. And the perfect brother always won because he was stronger. And they would swim and they would get to the point that the invalid brother, the main character, wasn't going to quite make it. Our invalid character was never strong enough until one day, he just would not quit swimming. He kept swimming out until finally the perfect brother himself got scared and began to flounder around in the water. And the invalid won and even had to save the perfect brother's life. When he was pressed on it later, he was asked, and I'm paraphrasing a little bit here, but he says, "Why would you keep going when you knew the risk was that we would never get back?" And the so-called invalid answered, "I decided it did not matter if I made it back, only that I kept going." Folks, think about this for a minute. Lately, it's as if the government is deciding that some businesses are preferred while others are just invalids. So what exactly is a private sector? I mean, technically, a private sector should be any entity that does business as a non-governmental unit or a business. I mean, you'll get some quasi-governmental entities sometimes, like boards and authorities and gas districts and sports complex authorities, but those are still technically government. Anybody who provides goods and services are technically private sector if indeed they are not a government entity, right? And it's a whole set of different rules out there in the private sector. You got different levels of liabilities. You got private funds invested in it. You got investors that are part of your process and you have to take care of your shareholders potentially. You got employee processes you have to deal with. You got potential for bankruptcy. You could actually go under and go away and never be heard from again. It's the risk. I mean, really, when's the last time, too, you ever heard of a government sector job provider going bankrupt and going out of business? And that would be never. They just stretch out their debt, make some paltry statements in the press, and they open up again on Monday morning, unless it's a federal holiday, of course, in which case they're off again. But the real risk, and supposedly the real reward, comes from being in the private sector. It's the old adage, you know, you build a better mousetrap and the world will beat the path to your door. So you invest and you sweat and you assume the risk and you build your dreams and you actually start paying your bills and you've built the better mousetrap. But what happens when the government decides to change the rules and create a situation where your mousetrap no longer qualifies? Not because it doesn't catch mice. No, no, no. Because the government doesn't like the way your company policies are situated or who runs it. Or you didn't get on board with the latest bureaucratic red tape nightmare they created for you. Or that they saw a supposed greater good out there and they limited your capacity to build mousetraps. I mean, is it really a private sector when the government can tell you when you can and cannot open for business? Or when they can void your contracts just on a whim? Or when they can revoke your status by means of just a mere executive order? Government entities at all levels have forgotten their place in the last year and a half. It's as if the rules of the free market have just flown out the window, just notions of a silly little way we used to do business. Not everywhere, but somewheres around here, we can see it clearly. Like, for instance, just this year, this very year, the city council in Montgomery considered an ordinance that would have potentially caused religious organizations to be liable for not hiring transgender employees regardless of that organization's religious beliefs, like a church. Just last year, Governor Ivey declared many small businesses as non-essential and closed them down but left their big box competitors open. And then she took much of the aid that came to the state and used it to prop up the unemployment fund to compensate those individuals who were laid off. But yet the employer, the one who was declared invalid or non-essential, is about to see a massive tax hike in the unemployment rate they have to pay because of those forced layoffs that they didn't ask for, the government created. And then, of course, the most recent example, the Biden vaccine mandates. Just one of many policies sweeping across the private sector that determines whether you're allowed to operate and when, and if your current contract's going to be voided with the federal government, or who you're allowed to hire or retain. I mean, what in the world has there ever been a more invasive policy? You see, government right now is stepping into the private sector on a daily basis and telling it how to run its daily operations, and the government appears many times to be just, you know, determined to pick the winners and the losers. It's as if the government is deciding who is preferred and who is just an invalid in the private sector now. I know of one company, they do defense contracting. All of their employees operate remotely from home. They never set foot on a government installation. They're all software engineers who literally work out of their house. But all of them are required to be vaccinated to keep their jobs because Joe Biden said so, even though they sit by themselves in their houses and do quality work. I know of another company that has a contract right there on Redstone Arsenal, a good company with under 50 employees, but one that has worked and sweated to build something they're proud of, who are now being told their contract will be canceled if they don't provide proof of vaccination for all their employees. These are private sector jobs. They represent Americans with private sector investments, and this deserves a reckoning. It deserves litigation to try and stop it like only the courts can do. It deserves a state legislature to say enough and tell the federal government we will not see our state economy ransacked by misguided public policies. It deserves a governor who will go to the podium and issue her own executive order similar to that of Governor Abbott in Texas, prohibiting the loss of jobs for a violation of conscience. It deserves a federal delegation of congressmen and women and U.S. senators prepared to filibuster till the cows come home and raise some holy hell up in D.C. to stop such misguided dystopian policies. It also deserves a group of folks, business owners, who refuse to be considered invalid, who will keep on swimming with no thought of how far they are from the shore. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Well, folks, I think I'm going to wind up putting that one in print and have it published. But I'm saying right now is, listen, all you out there, just take heart, all right? This is an unusual time. Government has never tried to step into your private sector space near as much as what it's doing right now. But it is a season. I do not believe it will be allowed to prevail. But we've got to keep pushing back, and you got to keep swimming, all right? You got to keep looking outward, not looking back at the shore. Because the day you start thinking about how far you are from the shore, you will not make it. We've got to keep moving forward. That's what it takes. And the private sector, you guys are the ones that make the economy run. All right, folks, we got plenty of that coming back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back.